You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Friday, September 30th, and we're talking Brewers baseball today with Adam McKelvey, our Brewers reporter. Adam, as always, thank you for the time. And unfortunately, this week we have to start things on a down note as the baseball world still rocked by the horrific news we found out early Sunday, the passing of Jose Fernandez of the Miami Marlins at the age of 24, a boating accident off the shores of Miami. And like I said, this is still news that is resonating throughout not just the baseball world, but the sports world in general. Such a bright star with a limitless future, and take it away from all of us. Again, he passes at the age of 24. And Adam, I was just wondering, you know, we saw so many reactions from so many teams across baseball to the passing of Jose Fernandez, and I'm sure the Brewers were no different. Talk about some of the reaction from inside that clubhouse, and if any, you know, players or coaches or personnel within the franchise had any sort of special connection with Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, you know, what stood out to me, and I wrote this, is there were no former teammates of Jose Fernandez on this Brewers team. And they faced him only one time in his entire career. It was earlier this year. They always missed him when he was hurt or he just didn't happen to pitch in the series. So there was not a close connection. But I'll tell you, it was as somber a clubhouse as I've ever been in. It really hit players hard that a huge, larger-than-life personality like that could just be taken away. And I think it had, you know, players, you kind of think about your own mortality in those situations. So it was a very, very difficult day. And as far as personal connections, there weren't any former teammates, but I did learn that Jonathan Villar, the Brewers infielder, says he became friends with Jose Fernandez just as spring training rivals when Villar was playing with Houston, and they were both in Florida. And he said they would text back and forth. And it was probably about a month ago that he got the last text. And he said Fernandez always encouraged him to, you know, go for it, to be just the player he was. He's an aggressive, VR is kind of an aggressive player himself, smiles a lot on the field, and he says Fernandez always encouraged him to keep doing those things. So it was, you know, it's really, really sad for all the players.
Yeah, it's just, it's unbelievable whether you say the words or read the words or hear the words that Jose Fernandez has died. It just seems like it can't be. Like, if this is some sick, cruel joke, and he's going to pop out of somewhere and say, hey, I got you all. But, you know, that's obviously not going to happen. And the one thing that struck me among the many tributes and remembrances of Jose Fernandez was Pedro Martinez on MLB Network. He came right out and said, you know, this kid had more talent and more potential than I did. That's coming from, you know, Pedro freaking Martinez. For him to shower that kind of praise on Jose Fernandez, it just makes you wonder and speculate what he could have been. He was incredible for the time that he was here, but taken away from us way too soon. And just
I'll tell you, Matt, if I can just share one more thing.
Sure.
Craig Counsell called him a Hall of Fame talent.
Wow.
That's what he thought of just the ability that Jose Fernandez had. So they saw some very big things. Just, again, he saw him pitch once live. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of talent that he thought he was. And this is coming from a guy, Craig Counsell, who does not just throw praise out there, you know, even his own players like that. And that really stood out. Craig Counsell had some really powerful comments about this, just basically that what he'll always remember was the word joy. That's the word he associates with Jose. And he said it was, you know, if you can take something from this terrible thing, it's just play the game with joy and accept the joy that this game can give to you.
I agree, and I think that, you know, who knows what the future holds, but, you know, we see so many, you know, I don't know what to call it, unwritten rules about baseball. Guys get so uptight about perceived slights and about, you know, you can do this, you can't do that. Well, here's a guy in Jose Fernandez who, like you said, went out there with a smile on his face 24/7, played the game with exuberance and joy and fun. And we need more of that in baseball. And if that's the legacy he leaves behind, where, you know, players can kind of turn a page and just treat this game for what it is, it's, you know, it is something fun. Yes, it's competitive. Yes, there are big stakes. But at the end of the day, it's a game. That's how he treated it. And, you know, again, if that's the legacy that he leaves, then the game will be better for it. But it's tragic it had to come to this, where he's taken from us at the age of 24. So Adam, good stuff there with remembrances from some of the Brewers personnel about Jose Fernandez and getting back to the batters on the field. The Brewers just wrapped up a three-game series in Texas, dropping 2-3. And a lot of old faces, a lot of old friends in that Ranger clubhouse these days, including Carlos Gomez, who spent six seasons in Milwaukee, and most recently Jeremy Jeffress and Jonathan Lucroy, who were part of trade deadline deals just this past, or this current season, I should say. You were in Texas. I'm assuming you got a chance to catch up with one, if not all three of these guys. And what do they have to say about their new situation, you know, playing on a Ranger team that is on their way to being the top seed in the American League playoffs?
Well, yeah, they're obviously having fun. And Carlos Gomez killed the Brewers. He hit a big homer in two of the games, hit a winning homer in the finale. The Brewers could have won that series. They could have swept the series. That would have been quite a thing from a team, as you said, going for the top seed in the playoffs. But it was weird being and seeing them in a different uniform. You're used to the fans in Milwaukee, used to seeing them in navy blue, and now you see the royal blue. Lucroy was kind of all business, but Gomez was really fun and reflective about his time in Milwaukee and kind of where his career has gone since then, a really bad experience in Houston. And he says his season kind of started over when he got to the Rangers. And it shows in the production he's given him. He says one of the things that helped him kind of find himself again was walking in the clubhouse door and seeing all those familiar faces. There's the players you mentioned, but there's also Prince Fielder, who's not able to play, unfortunately, but he's been around the team here and there. He wasn't there this week, which was a bummer. It would have been nice to catch up with him at the end of his playing career. But he'll be there with him in the playoffs. And Gomez said there was just a feeling of comfort when he walked in the clubhouse doors and saw all those familiar guys. I'll share one thing. The funniest thing that he said was, I was asking him, it's almost 5 years since he scored the winning run that put the Brewers past the Diamondbacks in the 2011 division series, put him into the NLCS. And I was asking him about that and about Niger Morgan, the guy who got the hit. And Gomez was saying, you know, Niger was the kind of player that if you were on the other team, you hated him. But when he's on your team, he's exuberant. He brings energy. You know, you love the guy. And I looked at Gomez. I said, Gomez, does that remind you of anybody? And he just smiles. He says, who, me? So I think, you know, he's a guy who can laugh at himself a little bit. He gets very emotional at times, and right now he's channeling it all in the right direction for the Rangers.
Yeah, he certainly is, and this is a guy that had struggled so bad with the Astros in the first part of the season that the Astros cut bait with him completely. He gets a new lease on life with the other team in the Lone Star State, and he has looked like his old self. As you said, probably the biggest reason why the Brewers only took one of those three games, as he absolutely crushed a pair of three-run homers in back-to-back games. And those things still might be in orbit. He was sensational, and great to see him and Jeffress and Lucroy down there in Texas for you, no doubt. Now, another guy I want to focus on who is still a Milwaukee Brewer and hopefully will be for some time, Jonathan Villar. And something I didn't realize is that he is one homer shy of a 20-60 campaign. That would be 20 home runs, 60 stolen bases, and only three other players in baseball history have achieved that mark. Some nobodies named Ricky Henderson, Joe Morgan, and Eric Davis for the Reds back in the mid-'80s. So three very prominent names there, two Hall of Famers. In your discussion with Jonathan Villar, how badly does he want to get that next home run, number 20, to put him in that very exclusive club?
Well, he insists to me that the key is not thinking about it because the number he really wanted was 60. And he's talked about that one for actually a couple of weeks. That has been a goal of his. And you saw in the first, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of September, him fall into a really deep slump. And he was pushed because he was just trying to get on base to get those stolen bases. So he says when he stopped kind of pressing, he figured out a way to kind of clear his mind a little bit. That's when the hits started to come. And now the extra base hits have really come in bunches. He hit two homers in one of the games in Texas, then hit another homer in the finale to put him to the edge. So he insists he's going up there trying not to think about it. Now, you know, is that true? I don't know. Three games at Coors Field, you're not thinking about hitting a homer. I think he's going to have to fight that in this three-game series. But it's quite an achievement. I was surprised when I looked, and it's been since 1990. Henderson in 90 was the last 2060 guy. It just seems like those aren't out of this world. They're certainly great numbers, but I thought there'd be another player who got it. I was kind of surprised that it's been that long.
Yeah, me too. We're talking over a quarter century now, and for him to get that 20th homer and join that club would be big for him. And I'm with you that, you know, if you're playing at Coors Field and you're one homer shy of achieving this feat, there is no way that your brain is not honed in on getting that home run, especially considering the environment. Coors Field in Denver, great place for him to hopefully launch homer number 20. We'll see what the next three games bring as the Brewers close out the season. And Adam, in all your years covering this team, have you seen a player have as unexpected a great season as Jonathan Villar is having for Milwaukee in 2016?
Well, I'd have to think about that. I mean, I think Junior Guerra, their pitcher, comes to mind for me. But you know, when you're talking about doing something that hasn't been done in 26 years, that is pretty amazing. When they traded for him, it was a minor trade. It was David Stern's first trade, by the way. It looked like they were getting a guy to be like a utility infielder. Gene Segura was still the shortstop at that time. And it just looked like VR was going to do what he did in Houston, kind of play all over, get at bats when he can, switch hitter, some speed. You didn't see him as really even an everyday guy. Then that changed when they traded Segura. Then he looked like he was just going to be a bridge at shortstop to Orlando Arcia, their top prospect. And VR has played himself into much more than that. So now they have to figure out, well, where do we play him? He's got to play somewhere. I'm not in the camp that believes the Brewers will look to trade him this winter when his value is so high. He's got so much club control left. He's a young player. He's exactly the kind of player that you're looking to acquire. And I don't see them trading him. So, you know, it's basically second or third base because Arcia is up now. He's the shortstop. He's going to be the shortstop on opening day. And where does VR fit best? He's been okay at third. He's made some errors over there. But, you know, it's a guy learning a different – after being up the middle basically at shortstop for most of his life, it was playing the hot corner is just proving a challenge. So that's a possibility. But, you know, I think second base, he'd look pretty good there. It's another up the middle, a little easier transition. He'd be a heck of a double play team up the middle with Arcia. And the Brewers then would have to figure out what they're going to do at third base. They'd also have to figure out what they're going to do with Scooter Gennett, who's been the third baseman for basically the last three-plus years. Or, I'm sorry, the second baseman for the last three-plus years and can only play second base. They probably would look to trade him. So there's some questions, I think, this offseason about how they're going to make that work. But the bottom line is it took a huge step. And when you talk to the coaches and teammates, they see a guy who's got a more in him. Because of the dramatic improvement he's made this year and the talent, just the raw talent that he has, they sort of think that this is a guy who could take another step. You know, Council's talking to him about 30 homers. They think that there's that sort of ability there. That would be pretty amazing for a switch hitter.
Yeah, it would be, and that would be a heck of a middle of the infield, as you pointed out, with VR at second, Arcia at short. And, you know, it's surprising and a little disappointing that VR's breakout season has not gotten more publicity. I think that the Brewers' struggles this year have had a lot to do with that. But if the Brewers do improve next year, I think this is a guy that could really come on the radar a lot more for what he's doing here in 2016. Let's hope he gets that extra home run to become the first 2060 guy since 1990. That would be something else. And Adam, to wrap up here, the Brewers played their final home game of the season on Sunday at Miller Park, and you could hear the cheers getting louder and louder with each successive at-bat for Ryan Braun, as I think the fans understand that obviously nothing's set in stone, but there's a good chance he could be wearing another uniform in 2017. Talk about Braun's reaction to the ovations and the fans and just everything going on around him following the game. Is like I said, there's a very good chance that you know, Ryan Braun, who's been the face of this franchise for so long, may not be come next season.
Yeah, you know, I think many players, when they went through this, they would have not had much to say about it. He's got a contract through 2020, and I think a lot of guys just would have been like, well, no, I'm here, I'm going to be here, and that's my expectation. Ryan Braun admitted what is obvious, that this could have been his last game. And he says that after he almost got traded to the Dodgers at the end of August, and he saw how close that was, he sort of, you know, took it all in over the last month. He appreciated the fact that this might be the last swings he's taking in this uniform in that stadium at Miller Park in front of those fans as a home player. So he was, I think, you know, his awareness of it was the interesting part of the story and his acknowledgement that, yes, this could happen. I've said, you know, you've asked me, Matt, if we go back to our early season podcast, I said, no, he's not going to get traded. Too big a contract, too many health questions, the PED cloud, all that stuff. No way another owner takes him on. That's changed. I mean, that's out the window now because they came within minutes of sending him to the Dodgers. He's healthy all season. He had back surgery last year, but they've managed it all year. He's going to get, 140-ish games played. He hit 30 homers. The thumb thing that bothered him a couple of years ago, that's now 2 years in the past. And his salary. His salary each year through 2020 is between $16 and $19 million. That's right in line. I mean, you can almost make an argument that's a bargain if he continues to produce at that level. Now, he's 33 in November. So is he going to hold up is the question. But they came so close to dealing him. The factors are all there in place for the Dodgers and Brewers to get those talks going again in the winter. And it would, I think it's more than 50-50 that he's playing somewhere else next year.
Yeah, I agree. And definitely the circumstances have changed since, a couple of months ago, if not even before then, regarding Ryan Braun. And I think especially where the Dodgers are concerned, if they have another early, fizzle outs in the postseason as they've had the last couple years and they realize they're one big bat away, then, okay, that big bat may be in Milwaukee. Go get Ryan Braun, take another shot at it at 2017 when Clayton Kershaw is still very much in his prime. And, a million things could happen, but that's just one scenario. We'll see what happens with Ryan Braun here in the offseason. And that's, Mr. McKelvey, a good place to wrap this one up. That is Adam McKelvey, our Brewers reporter, and we'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.